This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Arizona Party Rental and Cool Breeze Air Solutions.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Good morning, everybody. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, places, events,
the new year, Fred.
And culture.
Get excited, baby.
They make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
Do you have a New Year's resolution, Fred?
I have several.
Oh, just give us the juiciest one. The one that I know that today being the 5th of January, you've already screwed up on.
Which is that?
No, I'm asking you.
No, you said you knew that I screwed up on one.
No, no, no. Give us the one that you've already blown, being the 5th of January.
Oh, I have not blown any of them yet.
Oh, so your New Year's resolution is like,
I've had a cigar.
Get out of bed.
I've had cigar every day.
Take a shower.
I've had tequila every day.
Yeesh. Boy, by the end of the year, you're going to be one. You're going to be a mess.
No, my big sexy New Year's resolution is to get more airtime on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Then I'll be quiet.
So we are celebrating all these cool stuff, all these cool things about the Old Pueblo, and we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes. Now, Jeffrey.
Not talking.
It is the new year.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, we've been having these discussions over time about freshening up the show a little bit.
Fresh.
Because, you know, while we always maintain...
Yeah, you screwed up the freshening up of the show today because poor Lauren was sitting in the parking lot at 9:45.
No, I'm sorry. I checked the calendar.
You know, Lauren's just a college kid. We're going to have to... Maybe she's on East Coast time or something. I don't know. We're going to have to check it out.
Yeah, well, we will have to check that out because it was perfectly scheduled off of Google calendars.
Unfortunately... I'm more apt to believe Lauren than you. Sorry.
I have proof.
That's my New Year's resolution. Try to believe you more.
Well, that's okay. That's fine. That's fine. I think that's an ill-fated resolution.
We're done.
Yeah.
5th of January, I need another one.
All right. So, but one of the things we want to do, and you hopefully recognize our listeners, you guys will recognize over time, is we're going to spend a lot more time talking to the personalities of Tucson. I mean, we love doing things that are event-oriented.
Sure.
Because
there's a ton of them.
There are a ton of them. But we realize that we don't spend as much time as we had imagined that we would.
And you know, it's funny. We didn't realize that until someone told us. Why aren't you guys asking people what make them tick?
As opposed to just the organization or...
Yeah. And, oh, you have an event coming up on the 5th. Oh, that's great. Tell us about it. Well, we're having an event on the 5th. You know, I mean, so now we're going to talk to people about how not only how they're making Tucson a better place to live, but what makes them want to make Tucson a better place to
live. A little bit of their history and see what makes them tick.
That's right.
So with that, we have all sorts of events to talk about.
Holy mackerel. So we got to, you know, the first one that I want to talk about today, because I think it's absolutely something that everybody in Southern Arizona has to go to, is the 36th annual Ajo Old Time Fiddlers Show and Contest.
Oh, yeah.
In Ajo. It's on January 31st, so there's plenty of time to make plans to get out and see all the old time fiddling music. $3 a day gets you lots and lots and lots of old time fiddlers.
And you know, those guys are awesome.
Tell me, what do you know about them?
Well, in a former life, I used to hang out with a lot of these old-time fiddlers.
No kidding.
Yes.
Now, I'm talking about the fiddlers to play music.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, good.
They have violins.
Oh, yeah.
And they fiddle with them.
Right.
And you know, they are maybe some might say a little bit past their prime. So when they're trying to do the Orange Blossom Express, maybe a little bit slower.
But the Orange Blossom Express without a wheel.
Without a wheel.
No, but it's still good stuff.
No, but the cool thing about these guys is the passion that they exhibit. Because, you know, again, they may not be in the prime of their musical days, but they are in the prime of their passion for what they're doing.
Nicely said.
And it's beautiful. It's awesome.
Nicely
to
said.
See, and it's just a great event.
Yeah, awesome, Fred. Good job.
Well, thank you very much.
What do you got over there?
Well, you know, a couple of things, and it's actually, well, this thing is really just a cool little thing over at the Pima Air and Space Museum. The first week of February, they're having a paper plane project, the Great Paper Plane, the Great Paper Airplane Project.
Right.
On February 8th. And it's just a fun family event. You go out there, make paper airplanes. They're going to have a contest, prizes, all that kind of fun stuff. Just a fun little time. But there's two things, Jeff, that we are involved in.
Wait a second.
What?
That Great Paper Airplane Contest?
Yes.
When is it?
February 8th.
Okay. And so you take the family out, you make some paper airplanes, and there's gifts and prizes and all kinds of family entertainment?
Yeah. Well, there. Let's see. There's age group winners. There's a grand prize.
What's a grand prize?
It doesn't say, actually.
Darn it.
It might be, you know, something really spectacular.
Like a... Or ream of paper.
Or something, yeah, like you get a ream of paper.
To hone your craft.
Your airplane will be immortalized in this case forever.
That's cool.
I don't know.
Pima Air and Space, they got it going on.
We're making that up.
And when you're out there, you can go see our friend Jason Hartenbach, who's got the flight grill.
Oh, that's right. You'll have a little snack.
Yeah, a little snack would be
good. A little
good.
Brekkie out at Pima Air and Space.
Perfect.
Or lunch. But two little things we're involved in, and one actually we're on a big hook for.
Right.
Actually, we're on big hook for both these things.
Right. You really need to be. You know, I think one of your 2014 New Year's resolutions should be to keep your mouth shut.
No.
No longer
Somebody will tell me something. I'm like, hey, that's a good idea. We should be doing that. So one of those great ideas is with Beads of Courage.
Yes. That's a good one.
This is a great one. So we're inviting people to contact Beads of Courage. And we're actually, in the next few months, we're going to have some events. To encourage people to participate in this. But just to give a little, 10,000 foot explanation, Beads of Courage is an organization that works with kids who are going through life-changing medical issues. You know, cancer, heart conditions, whatever it
cystic
is.
Cystic fibrosis.
Yeah, any health issue that a child is going through, Beads of Courage comes in and... Every time a child goes through some kind of procedure, whether it be an office visit, a needle stick, like they get an IV or have to have some kind of a treatment, sometimes they have really horrific things that are scary. They have overnight stays at the hospital.
It's all scary.
Well, it's all scary. But
it's
scary. You know, sometimes a kid needs a little bit more encouragement than others.
Right.
So Beads of Courage comes in, and every time they go through a procedure, the child gets a bead to memorialize that procedure or event.
Right, right.
So some of these kids with, really long medical conditions have these long chains of beads, and it's cool because they can tell a story. Like, oh, this is the day that this happened, or, I really appreciated the day I got this bead because it was a really, challenging day for me. So one of the things that we're doing, the Fred and Jeff Show, is partnering with Beads of Courage in the Carry a Bead program. And what that means is that you go and get a bead, and actually you get two beads. You keep one, and the other one's for the child. And you do something, like you go for a walk at Sabino Canyon. You run in an obstacle course. You
celebrate your birthday.
Any event. Any positive event that you're doing, and you carry that bead with you, then the package comes with a little card, and you can write a note to the kid saying, on this day, I did this activity, and I was thinking about you and hoping that you
are having a good day,
yeah. And you're in my prayers and thoughts and all that. And so when you're done with that, you bundle it back up in the package, send it back to Beads of Courage, and when a kid is having a really bad day, it's called a courage bead, and they will get that bead. And so we're trying to get people in Tucson to participate in that. And again, we're going to be doing some events where people can carry a bead or get a bead, but it's $10 to get a bead. And, so we're promoting that. And the goal.
Yeah, we want y'all to go out and do it.
Yeah, the goal for the Fred and Jeff Show is to get 1,000 people in Tucson to carry a bead. So that's one big thing.
Or we can get 500 people to carry two beads. two different events.
Or 250 people to carry three bees.
You know,
or four bees.
We can keep going on with that, Brent.
Yeah, okay.
What's probably going to end up happening is you and I are going to be both carrying 500 beads each.
Pretty much.
And mom and dad
but
will
you
get
know
one.
What? I got to tell you, you know, our friends at Tucson Roller Derby really picked up the golf.
That's awesome. Thank you, ladies.
Yeah, we got a big kick start with Tucson Roller Derby. I think a couple hundred beads already.
That's awesome.
And those were great ladies. And they actually crafted a program where those beads are going to girls.
Cool.
So the theme is strong women supporting strong girls.
That's great.
So they're doing that. So if you want to create a theme and get a group going, contact us, Fred at friendjeff.com, and we'll get you going with Beads of Courage.
Also, Fred, don't forget at Tohono O'Chul, the Sand Hill Snowbirds event. It's going to happen on the Tuesday the 21st from 8 to 4. That sounds like a super fun event because thousands of sandhill cranes come rolling into the Sulphur Springs Valley in southeast Arizona, and the folks at Tohono O'Chul take a guided tour down there to watch all these beautiful cranes that come in once a year in southern Arizona. So more information on that is available at Tohono O'Chul.
Cool. Now, I think maybe the last thing, I don't know if you're going to...
I got one more.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Well, because you want the big drum roll for...
Well, this is one of the things that I know that you wanted me to never shut my mouth about.
Well, the last one that I want to talk about is coming up on the 18th and 19th at the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, and it's Mineral Madness, where you're an amateur rock hound. Novice or serious collectors, go out to the Sonora Desert Museum and discover new treasures out there. So that's super fun. Starts at 9 o'clock in the morning at the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. For more information, check out their website. And finally...
Oh, Jeff, you're loving me for this.
And by the way, the outfit you gave me fits like perfect.
Really?
Perfect.
I thought it might
perfect.
Be too small for you.
No, sir. It's perfect.
Okay, so on March 29th, and this is a few months out.
March 29th.
But we
I should probably put this on my calendar.
There's a reason. Because we need to start working out, getting ready for this. On March 29th, the Hard Charge Obstacle Run. So it's a televised obstacle mission.
Televised?
Well, not our part.
Oh, thank God.
The slugs at the end will not be on TV. All the professional athletes up front who will be, they'll be done in like 5 minutes. We'll be chugging in after 45, an hour 45. That'll be our time.
Helicopter will evac us out of there.
That's right. So it's 20 obstacles, 4 miles, and always an awesome party. And it's a huge event to support children's,
stuff.
No, well, I can't read my.
Well, come on.
Children's Miracle Network.
Cheerle Chetwork. Children's
Miracle
Network,
right. Tucson Medical Center. It's they're supporting that. And it's, again, on March 29th. Now, we're putting a team together.
Well, we already have a kickstart, too, because Shara, Jill, Carrie, Nikki, and Shannon in my office have all agreed to run in this thing.
Well, I got friends who have agreed to run in it, too.
Yeah, but I don't hear any names.
George, Jennifer.
You're making that up.
Michael.
Michael Guyman? Michael Guyman from Trio.
Mary Kate Breck.
Oh, we're going to have a big team.
We're going to have a big team.
We'll see how many of these folks actually pan out.
Show.
Where is this going to happen?
You know what? I was
it
talking...
It doesn't have it on that little piece of paper of yours?
No, it doesn't. I'm lame about it. But if you go to hardcharge.com, you can get all sorts of information, sign up for the event. And we also want to thank our friends at X Racewear, Marathon to Mud Run. They're the ones who gave us these really cool outfits. I mean, they're racing shirts and shorts.
Awesome.
And we're going to look incredibly fun.
And if you believe that, we got some swamp property down in Florida that I want to sell you.
I don't think so.
So, folks, we got to take a break. Come back with more fun people who make a big impact on Tucson. So stick around for more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
This is The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And in studio with us today...
Bum, bum, bum!
...is someone who's going to beat our bodies into shape for this Hard Charge event, or help us at least. Sarge, Anita Sarge Kelman from Beat Cancer Boot Camp. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
You know, I thought of it as the music was rolling. Came into this segment with you doing the chant.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know what I've been, what you've been
you
told.
Oh, you know it. I'm so
Fred's
proud of
a bonehead,
you, Fred.
And he's old.
Yeah, that's right.
There's many versions of that song.
I thought that was a good one.
That was good. I'll remember that.
So, Anita, I'm on the website. I'm reading your stuff, you know, a little bit about you.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that it doesn't say here says you've worked in the medical field for over 25 years as a clinical liaison for patients undergoing biopsies and other procedures.
Correct.
So is it, now are we talking about women with breast cancer? Are we talking about any sort of cancer where there's a biopsy taken? Or?
No, I work with a breast surgeon, so I'm the clinical liaison performing the biopsies with him in the office. So I'm the first point of contact that these patients get when they come in. So,
and they're scared.
They are scared, and that's my job is to make them a little more comfortable with the situation, to take the fear out of it. And that's why the Kelman B Cancer Boot Camp comes in perfect, because it's a great way to show women, once they're diagnosed, that there is light at the end of the tunnel and to stay strong throughout their whole treatment and diagnosis.
Okay, so 25 years, how did you get involved in that career field?
Well, I actually started off in just radiology, specialized in mammograms. I always focused on women's health, so I kind of fine-tuned my career just helping women, and I really wanted to be able to be part of their diagnosis to help them, because I feel that a lot of times these women, when they're diagnosed, they don't know what to do, and they feel, I'd like to empower them. So that's how I focused everything with the women's health.
And so you'd seen that in your career. You'd seen women get these diagnoses.
Oh, I'm with them.
And then, you're a survivor as well?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, but I'm with them for the when procedures and the diagnosis. And
and you kind of saw them just floating out there with not a lot
like a deer in the headlight. They don't know what to do. So
you took it upon yourself.
I took it upon myself to help them so they can feel stronger. And my motto is to make them physically stronger so they're mentally tougher to fight any battles, including cancer, whatever they're going through.
So is there research that's been done that shows that folks that are physically fit are better able to beat cancer?
Oh, absolutely. I'm so delighted that the research is finally getting out there, all these studies, that exercise not only helps recurrence of cancer, but it helps with prevention of cancer. So exercise is really important. And I have support of many doctors and oncologists locally and nationally who encourage patients to get involved from the beginning, because even when they're going through treatment, there's something they can do. And, you know, when their immune system is weakened, it's important to keep them as healthy as possible.
Now, when you said the beginning, you meant the beginning of treatment? Or right at the diagnosis?
Right at the diagnosis, because they should not be alone. This way, the group, the camaraderie helps them from the get-go. The mentoring piece of the program helps them. But the physical piece is really important, because I've been told by a lot of the participants that by taking the class and the program, the exercise piece, they use the mental counting that we do in the boot camp class, because we count military style. They'll use that to help focus maybe when they're going through their chemotherapy or their radiation. So they're able to take not only the physical piece of the strength, but the mental piece to be able to help them with their treatment.
And so mentally they're going, 1, 2, 3,
that's
one,
right.
One,
they're
two,
saying,
three,
oh, my God,
two.
I'd rather be back in class.
And you learned a lot of this stuff from the Navy SEALs.
I did. I actually co-wrote a book with the Navy SEALs. So I basically started the program based on the Navy SEALs training. So the whole class is based on that.
How did you choose the Navy SEALs?
I just like the discipline part, and I was working out with someone who was a Navy SEAL, and I just the mental discipline while you're exercising is so important.
And that mental discipline is probably just as important as staying in shape. Or getting in shape when you're going through these types of procedures.
Right. I believe they go hand in hand. So, you know, that's why I chose the Navy SEALs.
Good for you. So where did you go to get the Navy SEAL training?
Well, I was working out with someone local, you know, who was a Navy SEALs. And then I started researching using some books. And one of my favorite books was A Complete Guide to Navy SEALs Training, and that was written by Stuart Smith, who is the Navy SEALs that I co-wrote a book with, which is called It's a Beautiful Day for Boot Camp.
No kidding.
Yep.
Is he live in Tucson?
No, he's in Baltimore, but he came out and participated in one of my events, and he was so moved that his book, which he wrote to train Navy SEALs all over the country, helped a whole different set of demographics. And his mother was going through cancer at that time, so he wanted to get involved, and he encouraged me to write a book with him.
Did you just send him an email and say, hey, this
is exactly what I did.
Really?
I just randomly sent him an email. And then when he called to say, because I said, do you do speaking engagements? And he emailed me, said, call me. And so I called him, and then I was so starstruck, I forgot to ask him everything I wanted the first time. I was like, oh, my God. So then I had to call him back and ask him what I really needed.
Right, and he was more than happy to help.
He came out. He flew out from Baltimore, and he, you know, he came to my event, and he was really moved. And he wrote a couple articles for military.com and PoliceLink, where other sites that he writes on about his experience with the boot camp.
That's fantastic. So how you started this boot camp when?
It's 10 years. We're having a 10th anniversary coming right up.
And was it hard to start this boot camp?
No, you know, it started off small. And then,
and when you say small, it was like you and how many people?
Maybe 10.
Okay, so real small.
It was real small. And
well,
that's
bigger than our listening audience. I mean, you know, mom and
well,
dad.
Well, maybe they'll grow
me
now. Maybe they'll want to call. Maybe they'll... And then the program evolved based on the needs of the participants. I realized this, the exercise piece was important, but there is a social component missing for the support group. So I noticed people coming early to talk and staying late. And then,
oh, my goodness.
And then, so that's how the program evolved over the years. So there's a mentoring piece to the program. There's a monthly lunch, monthly dinner, because that's important to network informally in the group. I do an annual retreat, and the program has grown. It's licensed now, and I'm expanding across the country.
Now, what do you mean it's licensed?
It's a licensed program, trademark licensed.
The boot camp is?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're creating other boot camps across
exactly
the country? You're taking your little model that you started here in Tucson.
Tucson is the flagship, but it is expanding, especially since being on The Biggest Loser last month. I'm getting a lot of inquiries about it.
Tell us about that. I was unaware of that.
Oh, where were you?
Well, I'm mostly at home playing with the kids.
All right.
You
well,
know, we don't really get to watch a lot of TV in our house.
One of the producers called me, and I get a lot of calls. I've gotten calls from people all over the world, from England, from France. People call to hear about the program. So when I got this call, and people...
I'm sorry. How do they find you? Word of mouth?
They Google
it on the website? Okay.
Yep. And so I got another phone call from someone saying that they're doing a story and it's about second chances. And what I do, giving these women a second chance, is what their theme of their show is this year. Would I like to come out? And I said, well, sure. And they said, I don't know if you heard of the show. It's called The Biggest Loser. So I put my phone down. I went, yeah, I think I heard of you.
Yeah, you know.
So I flew out there with about a dozen of the local boot camp members, and I trained the red team for a day there in L.A. So I was the guest trainer.
How fun was that?
It was fun, and I worked with Dolvet. For those of you who watch The Biggest Loser, that was his team. So, you know, he let me take charge and be the lead, and he followed me around, so it was kind of fun. I was able to, you know, give him some orders, and he helped me.
And what was your biggest kind of aha moment with those folks?
Just watching them not wanting to disappoint me and wanting to, and they told me, they said, they looked around and they realized that these are women with cancer doing this, and they said there is no way they were going to stop.
So that's very strong.
I had to work them out for 3 hours.
No kidding.
Yeah. They said, how long are your classes? I'm like, oh, they're an hour. I said, how I can work these people out for an hour? They said, well, our workouts are 3 hours. I'm like, no problem. My girls looked at me like, are you kidding me?
You want to go home. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you've really taken this Beat Cancer Boot Camp to the next level, kind of times 10.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
so
wonderful.
There is a big celebration coming up.
Yeah, yes. Let's talk about it.
It's Tuesday, January 7th, and it's going to be at Brandy Fenton Park. And it's, like they said, it's the 10th anniversary, and we do this every year just to celebrate another year being together and the success that we've shared throughout the year.
And you got Rocky LaRose.
Yes, I'm really excited to have her. She's such a dynamic speaker, survivor herself.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
So it's going to be great.
And for those of you out there that don't know, she's the former deputy director of athletics for the U of A.
Right.
Great lady.
Yeah, she is.
Great lady. Well, continued success.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And folks, if you want to know more about the Beat Cancer Bootcamp, the website address is?
BeatCancerBootcamp.com.
All right. And we'll be right back. We've got lots more fun here on The Fred and Jeff Show. The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
This is The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeff.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment off of iTunes. Now, here's a little bit of housekeeping. You know,
please.
So we had our big New Year's Day show last week.
Yes, yes.
You know,
that was good times down at the Congress Hotel.
Hotel Congress. We're hanging out in the lobby.
Right.
With Sir David Sloots a lot.
Yeah, you like that, huh?
Yeah, David Sloots. And
I coined that one right on the spot.
That was amazing.
I'm a genius.
You are a genius.
Thank you.
But we promised to do something because we gave out,
uh-oh,
you know, the tickets to the Rialto. We gave out tickets to the Hotel Congress.
Right.
And some flowers and pizza, right, and stuff. And the prizes went to people who sent in their New Year's resolutions for us.
Are we going to, like, tell on people?
Well, I won't give names.
Okay, very good.
But they were really cool. The guy who won the tickets for the Rialto wanted to take his dog out for a walk more often. And I thought that was really cool.
That is cool.
And then the person who won...
You know, and by the way, Fred, you know what I read just recently? Folks that walk their pets on a religious basis are in better health than most people. And so is their pet. I think I heard Dr. Randy from the Pet Clinic Show say that the other day.
The other person was akin to my soul. They wanted to increase their intake of tequila and cigars.
Oh, geez. Which one did you give them?
They went to Hotel Congress. And they do have a fine selection of tequila over there.
Yes, thank you.
So, Jeffrey.
Frederico.
You know, this is a long overdue interview that we have coming up.
It is.
We have the folks from Big Brothers Big Sisters with us.
Of Tucson.
Because there are several other organizations across the country. But we have Marie Logan, who's the chief executive officer, and David Green, who is the executive director of the Donation Center. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, we have to have a little disclaimer because we've known Dave Green for years.
First grade. Known that kid since first grade. Saints Peter and Paul.
So we've put a gag order on him.
Right.
He's not allowed to talk about anything regarding the brothers Ronstadt.
Well, there's plenty to talk about you. Me, I was a little angel.
Oh, right.
I went through therapy, so we're good on that.
Chuck, turn his mic off.
So, you know, the funny thing, though, is you were actually... So we've harassed Jeff in the past about being in this world-famous band called the Chili's, and they've played with such groups as Foreigner.
We opened for Foreigner.
Well, you played...
We didn't play with them. We opened for them.
Open for Foreigner.
It's very different, Fred. You know, when you're in a band, Fred, and you're at such a high level, these folks don't want to talk to the local people. Just get on the stage, get the crowd happy, and get the heck out of the way, and let us do our thing.
My favorite story from that
true
event.
Story.
Yeah,
true story.
My favorite.
It has nothing to do with Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Tucson.
But my favorite part of that was because the Chili Chick.
Jamie Kane, right?
Jamie Kane.
Our keyboardist.
Their road manager or something came over and said, don't talk to the guys.
To the band, right.
And Jamie
don't make
like,
eye contact with the band.
Yeah, don't talk. Yeah, don't even look
true
that
story.
Way.
And Jamie said, well, what if I don't want them to talk to me?
Good for
and
her.
And the guy looked at him like, oh, geez. And he walked away. So that's a great story. But what does that have to do with Big Brothers and Big Sisters?
Well, no, it has to do with you and David.
Oh.
Because.
But he wasn't there.
No, but. Back in the day, your first band back in the day were the Blockheads.
The Blockheads, right. And the second band back in the day was Ojo Rojo.
But you weren't part of that.
No, but you and Dave were.
Yeah, Dave was.
So Dave hopped bands.
Yeah, he left you.
I'm still stinging from that, David.
He left you for the more talented brother.
So now let's talk about. Can we talk about who?
Feel free. I've purged my soul. I don't have to go to counseling this week.
Oh yes, you do. So, Big Brothers Big Sisters. Now, you are not from Tucson, are you?
No, I'm not.
Where are you from?
Spent most of my life up in Prescott, Arizona.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Born and raised in Prescott?
No, not born there. I was actually born in Alabama, then came down to Sierra Vista when I was a little girl.
Military?
Yep. Yeah. And then moved up to Prescott when I was in elementary school.
Why four?
Proper English.
No, on the French four episode. Seasons.
And those would be proud.
Why four?
Actually, my father.
Why'd you do that?
Actually, my father was working for the Department of Geological Survey. There was a unit in Prescott, and strangely enough, their job was to take aerial pictures of the Alaskan pipeline. So,
cool.
Yeah, from Prescott, Arizona. I don't know how that happened, but that's how I ended up there. I think so.
Wait. We're talking about a government contract here, right? Need we say more? So you're in Prescott growing up.
In Prescott growing up.
Talk about a little town experience.
Yeah, very little town. We used to drive to Phoenix. That was a big trip for us to get our school clothes and things like that, because it was pretty darn small then. Yeah.
That's cool. And
yeah,
so
much
what?
Bigger now.
So, and have you been in Prescott your whole life until you moved here?
No. Then I moved down to Phoenix and went to school. Then I moved. Yeah, and then I moved back to Prescott. That's when I started working with Big Brothers Big Sisters for many years up there.
In Prescott?
Uh huh. Yeah. Prescott has one of the best Big Brothers Big Sisters in the country.
No bragging.
No bragging.
No bragging on the Fred Jeff Show. So why is that? Because you work there?
Absolutely. They did have one of the best programs. Now Tucson does, no. No, just for number of children matched per capita. Awesome program up there.
Now, what drew you to that program?
Because
it doesn't sound like you grew up in a one-parent family.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. No, I think for me, what really got me involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters was being in a small town, and in Prescott is middle class, upper middle class families there, and I think I was really unaware of some of the struggles that children and families were going through in Prescott until I became a big sister and was matched with my first little sister. And realize there was this whole section of town that I really wasn't even aware of, where families really struggled, where they lived in very low, low income housing, where they struggled to make ends meet. My first little sister, would be homeless sometimes and go from apartment to apartment, sometimes living in hotels, and going to school and just having relationships was really difficult for her because there was a lot of anxiety and even some shame about her living situation at home.
God, that's got to tear your heart out.
It did, and it does. And for me, it really hit home for me. I'd lived in Prescott most of my life, and I didn't realize that was going on and how desperately there were children out there that needed somebody to say, I don't care what your living situation is. I don't care where you come from. I care about you. And
how did you develop that sense of wanting to help those kids?
Yeah. Well, I just meeting and having that relationship with that child. My first little sister I met, through a school program. This little girl was struggling in school, and her teacher thought that having a mentor would be a great idea. And so, I signed up. And
why?
And,
why? I guess my question is because of where you are today, being the CEO of the Tucson Boys and or Big Brothers Big Sisters, how did you take that first step? Who either said, this is probably a good idea for you, or you walked through that door and had that epiphany, and you decided to take that challenge? Mm-hmm. I mean, what was that moment that kind of has led you here today?
Well, I got involved with the Big Brothers Big Sisters program in Prescott because I was a single parent at one time of two boys, and being a mom, I realized that there were some things I could not teach my boys. There were some things that
smoking,
I just,
drinking. Causing trouble.
Cussing. So inappropriate, Fred.
Yeah. Wow. I was a great mom. We have great parents in our program, but you know, I don't know what it's like to be a guy and do guy kind
sure.
of things. And I realized I didn't have that ability to do that for my children. But I could do that for another girl. So that's how I got started in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. And once I met my first little sister at school, I really wanted to get to know her more. I knew there was a lot more going on.
And what did your boys think about that?
Oh, they were fine.
How old were they at that
yeah.
point?
Oh gosh, 10 and 12, I think.
Oh, so they're really
pretty, yeah. And I had remarried by then, and okay. I had a pretty big family. But so I wanted to give back. You know, I wanted to do something for some other kids. And so that's how I got involved and in volunteering with Big Brothers Big Sisters, and it just has become, you know, something that I know I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life.
And when did you go to work for them? So you were
about the same time.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I worked there for 15 years, 14 years, and then went up to Montana, Helena, Montana, and ran an agency up there for a couple of years.
Of Big Brothers Big Sisters
yeah.
in uh-huh. Montana.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you get drawn to Montana?
Yeah. I needed a change of pace. Yeah, I needed a change of pace. So I had been the COO in Prescott and went up to Montana to run an agency up there, and then wanted to get back to Arizona. I have a daughter attending U of A.
And yay!
So,
and so
was just jumped at the opportunity to come to Tucson. So here I am and doing what I love to do in a great city.
So you've moved from Helena, Montana, mm-hmm. capital of Montana,
mm-hmm.
to, and I know that because my children are studying capitals in school right now,
ah.
to Tucson, Arizona?
Yes.
It's a true story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I came to Tucson by way of Montana. So, yeah.
And now, was your daughter going to school here?
Yeah.
And that's what helped you? Throw your kind of your right. hat in the ring.
Right. And if you've ever lived up in Montana for
never,
a couple of years.
Never even stepped foot in the state.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful place. And you got to love to ski.
I thought Ted Turner owned most of that state.
Yeah. What's that?
I thought Ted Turner owned most of the state.
He probably does. Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful
no
country,
private...
but it's a cold, cold, cold,
no,
cold.
I betcha. So, yeah. And what did you find when you got here at the Tucson branch
mm-hmm.
of Big Brothers and Sisters, other than the smiling Dave Green over there?
I know. The first time, my first day at the office, I was going around meeting everybody and turned a corner and saw Dave, and I thought, wow, I've seen this guy around before. He's another lifer, you know, at Big Brothers Big Sisters.
look at him smiling over there. Dave, you've been with Big Brothers for a long time.
Yes, I have.
You graduated from Tempe Normal when?
1988,
and first job out of the chute was with?
Big Brothers Big Sisters. Exactly, yeah. Been there quite a while.
Yeah, you have been. All right, we got to take a quick break, right, Chuck? And we'll come back. We got more because we barely even scratched the surface with you guys. So, folks, stick around for more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
Jeff, we have been so rude.
Uh-oh.
We forgot to sing Happy Birthday to Marie.
Oh.
It is her birthday.
Tell our listeners who we're talking to.
We're talking to Marie Logan, who's the Chief Executive Officer of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Tucson, and Dave Green, who is Executive Director of the Donation Center.
Happy birthday.
Stop.
Oh, what?
We'll run into infringement issues or copyright issues if we sing that song.
Oh.
But we have the Fred and Jeff's Happy Birthday song.
Okay, let's do it.
Happy, happy birthday from Fred and Jeff Show. That's all I worked on, so here we go. That's it.
Happy birthday. Brother's a schmo. All right, very good.
So happy birthday. Thank you for being here on your birthday.
Thank you.
Wow, we feel so honored.
Well, you know, sometimes you just want to forget about your birthday. So I didn't really realize it until I got a birthday card this morning from my daughter. So.
Oh, that was so nice of her. Yeah. Dave, you got a big birthday coming up too, don't you?
I do. That's true.
The big 4-0.
I'll settle for that.
That sounds good.
So, Dave, you know, before we took our last break, you guys, just so our listeners remember, work for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Tucson. And the amazing thing about Big Brothers Big Sisters of Tucson is that all the national research shows that positive relationships between the littles and the bigs have direct, measurable impact on kids' lives. So you guys are making
the entirety of their lives.
Yeah. You're making a huge impact on kids here in our community.
Right.
And Dave, you started doing this in 1988, fresh out of getting your master's degree in social work from our friends up north.
Correct.
And what were you doing right when you started working at Biggs?
Well, I started out as what they call a program specialist, now a case manager, and that was somebody that works directly with the matches, the volunteers, and the children. And just to put a plug in there, one of the things that you mentioned, Jeff, was it was the fact that the program nationally, how it's been proven to have a positive impact on children. There's some reasons for that, and that's what the case management or program specialist team does. There's four main things in the studies that have shown why Big Brothers Big Sisters works, and that's what makes it so important, and that's what we do here in Tucson.
Free candy.
Match. Well, yeah.
Soda pops.
No.
Days
close.
At the ballpark.
Exactly, yes.
And U of A football tickets.
Those can be, but I'll give you the four in a real quick version of those. They're actually the screening process, which is obviously very important, which we do. You want to screen the volunteers, make sure that you have the right people in the right jobs.
Stay in front.
You also want to have the training component. So
you know, I got to tell you, Dave, I've known you since I was six. We've never, ever, ever had Chuck have to tell someone to stay in front of the microphone before. We have the first on the show.
I feel honored. I guess that's my legacy. When I die, that'll be
all right. So back to you.
Okay.
Number one,
the screening process
is rigorous.
Right. Yes, it's very important to have the screening process. Obviously, think about the families, children. Think of your own children. You want to make sure you have the best match you can. There's training also involved with the volunteers. Volunteers need training sometimes on different. And when the issues come up, there's issues that come up that we all say, "Ooh, I don't know how to do that." So that's an important part as well. The next step is actually the matching process. Just like anything in life, you want to match the right volunteers with the right kids. Everybody has their different preferences, their likes, dislikes. We want to make sure we get that matching going correctly. And then the last part, which is extremely important, is the follow-up. And that's what a lot of the program specialists are involved in, is you want to follow up with the matches. You just don't want to make one and have them go out in the community and say, good luck. You want that for a variety of reasons, one being the fact that you can help the matches continually. Also, you never know when you get to free tickets to U of A basketball games, and, you know, that's a great way to follow
up. Standing in line.
Exactly.
You know, I think you bring up a very, very, very good point. I've heard you mention it over the years, is that it is a commitment. Just because you say, hey, I want to be for Big Brothers Big Sisters, doesn't mean you're automatically, you're in, because you've got to find that match between not only the kid, but the kid's family. And you guys perennially are always looking for men to match with your kids, because guys, for whatever reason, we're a bunch of deadbeats, I don't know, but you're always looking for guys to help with the male children, the little boys. So what if you have the opportunity right now to say something to the 12 people listening to the show about being a match, what would you, if there's any misconception, what would it be, and how can you dispel it right now?
I think the misconception for guys is that they think that they don't have anything to offer. You know, what am I going to do with a child? What am I going to do with a kid? You know, I don't know. And
well, if it was me, and I, you know, because I like basketball, and he was like maybe 9, I'd be swatting the ball away every time he tried to take a shot. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be like Shaquille O'Neal.
That's the screen part of it.
That's why I never got in, right? Hey, let's play basketball all the time. No, I don't want to play basketball anymore. You don't let me score.
But it's fun. It's not some big scary thing. You don't have to have, you know, a bunch of credentials of working with children to do this. It's just being a friend to a kid. And we have the programs in place to match you with a child that has like interests. And it's fun. And most of the volunteers in our program say, oh, I'm getting more out of this than the kid. I'm having a blast. This is like a second childhood. I'm doing things in Tucson that I've never done before because I've got a child and we're looking for things to do. And it's fun. And that's what most people don't realize.
And I think it's really, really important to have the skill of listening.
It's a good one.
Yeah. You listen to that little person. It'll change your life.
Yeah.
And oftentimes just being that resource, you know, people think, like Marie said, oh, I have to be this know-all person. It's some of these kids, they've never gone past a two-mile radius of their homes. So it's just mainly being a resource.
No kidding.
Seriously, mm-hmm. Yeah, take them to a basketball game or take them to some place up in an area they're not at. Take them out to a desert museum. So a lot of times they haven't had that experience, and just giving them those experiences proves invaluable.
A lot of the things that we take for granted will blow their minds.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, so, I mean, you and I both have children, and we've taken them all these things, and so it's like, doesn't occur to someone like us that other kids don't have exposure like that.
Well, and maybe it doesn't occur to a lot of folks that are married with kids that they can still help as well.
Absolutely. They can be a couples match or a family match. There's lots of different ways.
So a whole family can participate and be a big?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Where can folks go to get more information? Because y'all have been in the community for 50 years.
Yes.
And because our community is growing, there's always new folks coming in. Mm-hmm. Where can folks go to find out more about Big Brothers and Big Sisters?
They can go to our website, TucsonBigs.org. That's the best place. They can get all kinds of information, phone numbers to give us a call. They can apply online. That's the first step, is making the application. You'll talk to a program person who will give you all the ins and outs and details about volunteering. But I just want to say that right now we have 120 boys that are waiting for a big brother right
now.
And, it's probably the most critical time I've ever seen, in Tucson or in the other agencies I've worked for. 120 boys, those boys, average wait time is a year. So you think about a boy that might be struggling in school a little bit, really needing a role model, that is, 10 years old. Think about what happens in a year. They're now 11 years old, and they didn't get the support they needed. And now we're talking, instead of prevention, we're talking about intervention, because they're starting to make bad choices as they get into middle school and high school.
Well, thank you so much for what you guys do. You guys make our community a great place to live by your works, your deeds. We thank you for moving to Tucson to help out poor guys like Dave who are lost without leadership. And don't forget, folks, that you can also donate your clothes. Slightly used love to the Donation Center for Bigs. So go to TucsonBigs.org, and we'll see you next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show.